I'm Marlena, and I want to welcome you to Marlena, right here on ACB Radio Mainstream, where for about the next 60 minutes or so, we'll be taking your calls at 1-866-666-7926. Come on in, sit down, take your shoes off, give me a call, won't you? Hello and welcome to Marlena. You know, that woman on the promo lied to you last week. She told you she'd be with you for 60 minutes or so. She lied again this week. We're doing another two-hour program tonight on Marlena. And so we'll really look forward to your participation. With me tonight, and I've just brought into the room, so they both need to behave, I have two very special friends to me. One is Dave Williams, director of ACB Radio. Good evening, morning, Dave.
Hello there. A very good Monday morning from the UK, where it's shortly after 1 GMT, and I'm in fine fettle, and looking forward to the program, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, and we're just delighted to have you. And the other is my dear friend for more years than either one of us wants to admit, from Florida. We bring all parts of the globe here to the Marlena program, Mr. Paul Edwards. Good evening, Paul.
Good evening, Marlena. And it's just after 9 o'clock here, and I'm sitting out on my patio with the sound of crickets, and it's about 72 degrees and quite lovely.
Well, if it's just after 9 o'clock, Paul, you've got a watch that doesn't work right.
You're right.
And the telephone number to call is 1-866-666-7926. If you are listening to this program at any time other than one universal, you're listening to a repeat, and that telephone number will not work. It will take you to my fax machine, which is no fun. I'm bringing Dave and Paul together for several reasons, not the least of which is that they're very fun together. But ACB Radio is going to have a wonderful opportunity, which we will talk about in just a bit, to cover the 6th General Assembly of the World Blind Union. Paul, Dave will be covering the proceedings along with Jeff Shang from Australia. And Paul has been to the World Blind Union General Assembly. So I thought that Paul could add some interesting perspective about why this is so important. But before we get to that, I'd like to invite Dave to step up to the podium here. And Dave, you are the director of ACB Radio and have been the director for how long now?
I was officially appointed director of ACB Radio in February of this year, but I was kind of here on an interim basis before that.
And what did you do prior to working with ACB Radio?
Okay, I was educated at a school for blind, and I moved on from there and went to university, where I studied politics, philosophy, and maths, and I kept chopping and changing. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And then I got some opportunities to do some voluntary work, working with some older blind people. As we know, most blind people tend to be over the age of 60. And I'd spent all my life with people of my own age, and I really found this a fantastic opportunity. So I thought that I'd put my studies on hold for a while, and I'd give this a shot. And these were people that had lost their sight later in life. And these were people that you know, they'd had illnesses or industrial accidents. And it meant that they'd not only lost their sight, but they'd lost a huge amount of confidence. I think it's difficult for us that have been blind all our lives to fully appreciate what it must be like to suddenly go blind, having been able to see all your life. It must be a momentous thing, an earth-shattering thing, because everything changes. You've got to relearn so many things that, you know, you and I and Paul take for granted as blind people who are, you know, we're comfortable with being blind. We're used to being blind. We're good at being blind, quite frankly. And some of these people, they had no idea where to start. So they were sort of making these first tentative steps, and as a younger blind person would say, well, you know, hey, look, I can do this. And this was under the auspices of a local blind welfare society here in Preston in the UK where I live, called Galloway's. And this is an organisation, I guess it's an organisation for the blind. We are trying to change that. But they called me in early 2000 and they said, they said, look, we've got some computer equipment that has been donated to us. Can blind people use computers? And when I stopped laughing, I said, absolutely, yes, we can. And they said, well, would you be, you know, willing to assist some of our patrons? Because we think that this could open so many doors. Not that I was necessarily training people to develop skills that they were going to use in an employment situation. Because as I mentioned, a lot of these people were older people who were approaching retirement or people that had already retired. But just to give them basic skills like how to scan in their mail, or how to write a letter and have it printed out, or how to order their groceries online. Very basic life skills that, you know, that perhaps they'd lost or thought that they'd lost because of their deterioration vision. So that was that. I did some hospital radio for a while. In the UK, most major hospitals have some kind of radio available, and this is a station that broadcasts in and around the hospital. Some
really?
Of them are low power.
What a cool
AM
idea!
Or FM services.
Huh, what a cool idea.
Yeah, and this is to try and, you know, brighten people's day and this sort of thing. And then some of them are hardwired systems. The service that I was involved with was a hardwired system. So each patient would have a unit situated on the wall just near the head of their bed, and then they could plug in some headphones and they could listen to hospital radio. And then somebody would go around in the morning and get requests and things, and then we would play the requests for them in the evenings, you see. And, you know, we'd say, you know, hello to Marlena, and hope she's feeling a lot better today, and we understand that your surgery went very well, and we understand that you wanted to hear something from the Eagles, so, you know, here it is. And so we would do that, and that was quite rewarding. I also did some telesales. I don't think I know many blind people who haven't done some telesales.
That's true.
And that's a thankless job. That's a very thankless task. And now when I get cold calls and people call me, I do try as much as possible to be polite to people, because it really is. You know, somebody has to do it. And people who are working in telesales, they're only trying to put some bread on the table. They're, you know, they're not there to make your life a misery. And if you're polite but firm, there's no excuse for not having, you know, manners and a bit of civility when, you know, even if you're not interested in something. Somebody phones you up and says, you know, would you like to buy a new kitchen? And if you're not in the market for a new kitchen, you say, well, no, thank you. And you can leave it at that. And, of course, there are services now that you can register with to get yourself excluded from these databases. So I did some telesales. I was selling electricity for a while. So I was dabbling with all sorts of different projects, really. I was toying with the idea of setting up an audio production company. People seem to be enjoying the bits and pieces of audio production that I'd produced, and I consulted on this and looked into this quite seriously, and thought that I might be able to make a living out of that. But I was pottering around doing different things, and of course one of those things was ACB Radio, and I became a volunteer for ACB Radio in 2000. So, you know, I was there pretty much not long after the start. I was certainly listening from day one, but I became a volunteer for ACB Radio in early 2000, and I was involved with ACB Radio Interactive quite heavily. I was the program director for ACB Radio Interactive for, I think, about 18 months. And, of course, I had a great relationship with Jonathan, and Jonathan was very keen for me to be involved, and I had a show on Mainstream for a while, the UK Connection, archives of which are still available on demand. And then last year, of course, in July, the world learned that Jonathan had been given an offer with Paul Stater, and an opportunity there, which, quite frankly, with a young family and obviously the four children to clothe and feed, he really couldn't refuse. And so Jonathan moved on to Paul Stater International. He moved to Christchurch. And there was a vacancy, and the ACB were looking for somebody to run ACB Radio. And I got the call, and I was very flattered. And I spent some time thinking about it. And initially, I was simply asked, would you just try and, you know, could you could you steer this at least on an interim basis until we can find somebody? And I said, well, I'll give it my best shot. I never presumed to be Jonathan or to be able to succeed Jonathan in any way, and I think I bring a different approach, a different style to ACB Radio, and we can talk some about that a little bit later on. So I carried on, and I didn't know for a long time how long this internship would last, and whether or not it was going to be, you know, financially viable, and there was a lot of uncertainty about it. I don't think that's any secret. And then in January, ACB started interviewing for the ACB Radio directorship, and I was interviewed by a panel of, I think, about six or eight people over the phone. It's quite a long interview. I remember it ran for about 3 hours, and as seems to be the case with a lot of my ACB Radio activities, it happened in the middle of the night, and I obviously managed to give a good account of myself, because a couple of weeks later I had a telephone call and I was offered a 1-year contract.
And here you are.
And here I am.
And here you are.
Sure.
I'm going to ask Paul, you are no stranger to any of my work on ACB Radio, Paul. You've called into my music shows, and you were a guest on Blind Spot when you were the president of ACB, and you were with Kim on Marlena, Kim Charlson. Boy, I'm getting old. Her name just flew right out of my head. To talk about some of the pre-convention stuff and BRL and that sort of thing. What are you doing now, Paul Edwards?
Well, in terms of ACB Radio, I sort of accidentally fell into doing a program.
We called him.
That's right.
We beat him, yes.
Yeah. Last April or so, I decided to start using the chat rooms in our place, which everybody ought to know about, on ACB Radio in a sort of a novel way. That is, I set up to discuss a specific topic with whoever wanted to come at 9 o'clock every Tuesday night. And it remains 9 o'clock, by the way.
And that's 9 o'clock Eastern.
Whether it's daylight savings or standard time. It does remain 9 o'clock, unlike ACB Radio. And for several months, we just went on that way and discussed kind of topic after topic, and the debate was good. I started it because it seemed to me earlier this year that there was a sense in ACB that it was very difficult for us to talk with each other without losing our tempers and without getting all hot and bothered. But I wanted to demonstrate that it was actually possible to discuss some topics that we might disagree on pretty substantively, but we could be polite to each other and we could actually manage to maybe provide some information to folks that was valuable at the same time. So two or three months ago, Dave Williams called and said, well, what would you think if I said, let's record Tuesday topics and broadcast them on ACB Radio? And I said, if you're prepared to do the editing, mate, which is no mean feat, I'm certainly comfortable with it, assuming that everybody else who comes knows that it's going to be an ACB Radio program. And so said, so done. And we've now been on the air for, I guess, the last month or so, Dave.
Yeah, I think we're on program, I think Monday night, I think, will be program 7 or 8. So probably slightly longer than a month.
There
I think we started probably about the end of September, possibly.
And are we on at 1 UTC or 2 UTC?
That's right, yeah. 1 Universal on a Monday evening. So during the U.S. Winter, that's 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. And then, of course, when the clocks go forward for the summertime, then it'll move forward again to 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. So it's 8 Eastern on a Monday evening on ACB Radio Mainstream, repeated every 2 hours thereafter for a 24-hour period. And we're looking at putting it on demand.
Paul,
it's a fun program. We discuss some pretty interesting issues, I think. Some of them are a little arcane in that we did a program on the Tech Act, but most people don't know what that is, and it has some real potential value for folks who are blind within individual states, and ought to be used by blind people, if nothing else, to help us advocate for some of the things we want state government to do.
Tell me some of the topics you've discussed on Tuesday topics.
Yes. Well, Tech Act is one. We've discussed, now that the election is over, what do we do to get ready for for upcoming sessions at the local, state, and national level? And what are some of the differences between advocating legislatively at the local, state, and national level? And in fact, that's the show that will be coming up this week, I think.
I'm not sure. I've lost track. I think we might have had that last week actually. But we're running the week. It's recorded on a Tuesday and it's broadcast the following Monday. So that's how it works. People come on a Tuesday night, and also you've done, of course, DVS as well. You've talked about DVS in the movies and DVS for the stage.
For live theater, right?
And yeah.
We've also done programs on education. Earlier on, we did programs on transportation, but I don't think they were recorded, so I suspect we'll end up doing one on transportation, God help us, again.
Yeah, the recreation one was good, actually. I think the recreation one might have been the one we had last week, actually, if I remember rightly. Yeah,
now, Dave, let me ask you, Dave, I have to jump in the middle of these two, because, I could just sit here on my hands, and they could do all the talking for the next 2 hours. I won't use the analogy Dave gave me earlier as to how much he could talk, but... as director of ACB Radio, Dave, I am assuming that I'm correct in stating that you are thrilled with this kind of program and programming and would like to foster similar kinds of things from other affiliates and interested folks.
Oh, absolutely. One of the things that when I got the ACB Radio contract, I had to think very carefully about what programs we had and what programs we should have. And one of the things that occurred to me was that really, I've spoken at length with Jonathan about this, and we really felt that Main Menu was an ACB Radio program, but that Blind Line was a Jonathan Mosen program. Blind Line predates ACB Radio. Blind Line goes back to MBS FM to mid-1999, and I felt that the Blind Line brand really belonged to Jonathan rather than ACB Radio, although... You know, there are many other brands that Jonathan created while with ACB Radio that certainly do belong to ACB Radio, Main Menu being, you know, a case in point. But I did feel that with the loss of Blind Line, that we should have as much interaction, like this program, for example, as possible. That it's important that ACB Radio isn't about me. You know, ACB Radio Mainstream, if I could help it, I wouldn't be on it. You would never hear my voice on ACB Radio, because it's not about Dave Williams. It's not about this guy from the UK. It's about the 71 affiliates of the American Council of the Blind. It's about the thousands of blind people around the world who access the ACB Radio service on a regular basis. It's about the listeners, and it's about the volunteers, the more than 60 regular contributors who are part of this amazing project. So I'm very keen for people like Paul to come along, to use the iVocalize technology in the Our Place chat rooms, which isn't difficult to do. It's very straightforward. It's very easy to host a discussion in there, have it recorded, and have it played on ACB Radio Mainstream. The editing is the bit that is time-consuming, and that's the bit that I'm happy to do. If I want to be a facilitator, I want to try and bring people together to make programs, to share ideas, and to discuss the issues that concern them.
Tuesday Topics is interesting, though, in that Tuesday Topics is as good as the people who turn up, and that's one of the kind of scary and also exciting things about Tuesday Topics, because whoever is there soon after 9 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday evenings is a part of that radio program. And some weeks we get a nice turnout of people who have lots of knowledge, and some weeks we get folks who are learning. And so I would urge any of you who would like to do this to try coming to the Politics Room in Our Place on a Tuesday night at 9 o'clock and join us and become part of the debate about ACB Radio and about issues that actually do concern ACB.
Well, in that regard, Paul, Tuesday Topics is very like my program in that you know, it's as interesting as my guests and callers make it. So I don't know about you on Tuesdays, but I on Sundays frequently have butterflies in my stomach thinking, oh my gosh, what if no one calls?
Well, I think, what if no one comes?
Well, we would both end up in the same predicament. We would be pontificating.
And me talking for an hour and a half is a pretty scary thought.
Oh, well, no less scary than me talking for an hour and a half or an hour. The telephone number to call is 1-866-666-7926. Lots of eights and sixes and nines.
This week we're going to be talking about Braille, by the way.
Oh, about Braille.
Yeah. Now, why is it declining? What can we do to change it? What can we do during Braille Literacy Week? Talking perhaps a little bit about Louis Braille's home over in France and what the World Blind Union is doing to try to keep that going, and range of other things that all surround the dots we love.
And let me bring a caller into the room. Hello, caller. With whom are we speaking and from where are you calling?
Nothing you haven't heard before. This is Frank Casey in Albany, New York.
Hello, Frank in Albany, New York. Often my first caller.
Yes, well, anyway, it's a pleasure. Well, I'm glad you've got the two chief cooks and bottle washers of ACB Radio and ACB, respectively, here. I really want to say to Dave that he's doing a great job programming ACB Radio. And Paul's endeavor on Tuesday night, I'm sure, was good. And I'm glad he's going to be bringing up Braille, because I think something is very important, because I think the last 10 or 15 years people are taking the attitude that now that we've got computers, which are great, but now that we got computers and now that we got this, that, and the other thing, we don't need Braille, and that makes us not meaning to. It makes us feel kind of illiterate.
Yeah, and I'm curious to get responses from all of you to this question, Frank included. And I guess we'll start with Paul. How do you respond to that, Paul? How do we fight that myth that now that we've got computers, we don't need to learn Braille?
You're doing a show for him, Marlena. My goodness gracious, he's going to have no program left on Tuesday.
Sure he will.
That's right. Well, I think the first thing that we absolutely have to do is to showcase Braille wherever we can. The truth is that even though we know how much Braille is in decline, the rest of the world actually doesn't. That is, sighted people still think blind Braille, and that's an indication of actually how categorically everybody understood that Braille was key for folks who were blind way back when. It's only in the last 10 or 15 years that blind people have moved away from it, but sighted people haven't. And I think what we need to do is to sell Braille harder. We've passed Braille bills in most states, and we need to see that they're enforced. We've also done or can do an awful lot, I think, in Braille Literacy Week every year. There are a number of organizations that are putting out literacy packets. BRL has traditionally, AFB is now putting out one. And so there's a lot we can do at the local level to begin to draw attention to Braille. And again, I think we need to hold the feet to the fire, folks like state blind agencies whose rehabilitation teachers aren't teaching it to adults because it's too hard for them to learn.
Now, Dave, is it true, Dave, that in the UK,
mm-hmm.
People tend to, and I'll let you yak at Paul here in a second, but people tend to use Braille displays, I think you guys call them lines, more perhaps than in the U.S. And so if that is true, is Braille perhaps more popular, more popularly used in the U.K. than in the U.S.?
Okay, there are a couple of elements there. I'd also just like to take this opportunity to welcome Frank to the program. I've heard you on Marlena several times, Frank. I also heard you speak on the floor at you certainly raised points and things on the floor at the convention this year. So it's good to have you on the program.
Thank you.
We call them Braille displays. I don't know who calls them Braille lines. I call them Braille displays, and most of the people I know call them Braille displays. I wouldn't say that braille displays are more prevalent in the UK. We have the same problem that you guys have in the US, in that they are prohibitively expensive for many people. Certainly in mainland Europe, countries like Sweden and Germany and the Netherlands, there appears to be funding available from insurance companies and so on, which can help cover the cost of a braille display.
And for employers as well. I mean, employers
There seems to be a greater awareness in terms of, you know, why having a braille display is important for a blind person. So they seem to be much more available, and I'm certainly aware of cases of students who have a braille display in their home and another braille display at their school. You know, and that's not hugely uncommon in you know, mainland Europe, but that is a rarity, really, in the UK.
Marlene, can I interject something here?
Sure.
Sure.
Marlene, I know you know this. Paul and Dave may not know it, but I'm a retired 911 emergency dispatcher, and one thing that I know for sure, that I would never have been able to do my job without Braille. One very simple reason.
Mm.
If I use speech with everything, it could have been deadly, because you cannot listen to speech and listen to somebody on the phone who's telling you her husband's having a heart attack, and then you're trying to listen to give medical instructions to do CPR. That's the way Braille works. Braille is a lifesaver in emergency communications, and that's the one thing that I learned. And I think that comes out to be something, you know, very important that's got to be brought out.
Well, Frank, hopefully you can join in on the discussion on Tuesday.
I certainly will. Now that I know what we're going to do, I will be there.
That would be wonderful, because I think people need to hear things like that about our beloved Braille.
Just to make this relevant, really, back to the discussion that you were having, you were asking me earlier, Marlene, about what I used to do. I think the important thing that people need to be aware of, that even in the so-called, you know, golden age of Braille, when more people were apparently using it, it was still a relatively small fraction of blind people that ever did use Braille. Most blind people, as I indicated earlier, are older people, are people who are over 60, who don't get reskilled and don't learn Braille. And that's a very sad state of affairs. The truth of the situation is that it has always been a relatively small proportion of blind people that have been Braille readers.
Under 10% here.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
But it's interesting. I don't remember where I read this, maybe on the AFB website, but I read that among blind people who are employed, upwards of 90% of those people are very highly skilled Braille users, which really ought to tell us something.
Well, and the reverse is actually true, that people who do not know Braille are do not tend to be employed at nearly so high a percentage.
Right.
I don't know that 90% figure would equate, because if you think of that there are supposedly 70% of blind people out of work, which would leave 30% of blind people in work, and if only 10% of blind people use Braille, then I'm not sure where the 90% of employed blind people being Braille users comes from. But I would definitely say that go along with the notion that if you're employed, Braille is obviously going to be very, very useful, for the reasons that Frank indicated just earlier.
What I recall of the AFB stats is that 85 or 90% of the folks who know Braille are employed, whereas 20 to 25% of those who do not are.
That would sound right.
Right.
All right. Anything else, Frank?
No, this is Kathy.
Oh, Frank changed his voice.
Well, what did we do to Frank? Put him down. Hello, Kathy.
I'm on the other phone.
And did you have anything, Kathy?
Oh, well, I just wanted to say, you know, one of those cases where I'm one of those 30% that is employed, and where I work, a lot of the job is is visual. I do have I am considered a high partial, but I do use JAWS, and I do use the large print software for the computer. So I use it in conjunction. I use them both together, and it has helped considerably. And I just hope that other people that are out there that, you know, take advantage of the technology that's there, and that's what it's there for. I just wish there would be more people that would go out there and be out there to work.
All right, great. Well,
I think everybody's really looking for that Braille Holy Grail, which is a cheap, affordable, refreshable Braille display.
Yeah.
I think that's really what we need. We need that technological breakthrough to put refreshable Braille in the hands of
in
more
the hands,
people.
That's right.
And every year there's a rumor that it's about to happen. And it
doesn't
but
come.
We're still waiting.
Yeah.
Thank
oh, I'm
you.
Sure it will happen eventually. You
thank
know, who
you
would have thought we'd be having internet radio things and people in, you know, two or three different states and the guy in the UK, you know, collaborating on it on a program like this 5 years ago. So it's bound to happen. It's just a question of when, not if.
Thank you very much for calling, Frank and Kathy, and have a great week.
Yes, you too.
See
thank
you next
you,
week. Okay. Bye. The telephone number to call is 1-866-666-7926. Dave, I'd like to ask you specifically, what are your thoughts about the direction in which you'd like to see ACB radio going? We've touched upon the need and the hope for more affiliates and persons to become involved in doing programming, and that you're willing and able to provide the editing support that is necessary for all of that. But what else is in your vision for this project?
Well, I think ACB radio needs to be in the hands of blind people. I'm contracted to direct ACB radio, but you know, that doesn't mean that I'm on every program and that I'm, you know, the big sort of on-air personality. I want to put ACB radio in the hands of the people that listen to it, the people who contribute to it, the 71 affiliates of ACB. And there are a few ways in which we can do that, but by having programs like yours and like the one that Paul records on a Tuesday evening at 9 p.m. in the politics room there at our place. But also to cover live events. It was a privilege for me this year. It was a real honor to go to the 43rd annual convention of the American Council of the Blind in Birmingham, Alabama, and to be the person that brought that event to the internet, so that people who, for whatever reason, maybe health reasons, maybe financial reasons, couldn't quite get to come. I mean, nothing substitutes going. I would never even begin to suggest. I would encourage everyone to go to convention if they possibly can. But you know, there are going to be circumstances when people can't make it for financial and health and other reasons, work commitments, whatever it may be. And so we are able, through the power of this technology, to stream these events into people's homes, and we've just recently covered the WCB state affiliate convention with the help of Viola Cruz, and that was the other weekend. We also covered the CCB convention with the help of Paul Merrill. We're looking at Florida. We're hoping to do Florida. We've also had content from Blind Citizens Australia, their annual general meeting, and also the Queensland state affiliate of the Blind Citizens Australia, their convention. So we're increasingly, and we will get on to really what is probably going to be the biggest of these events shortly and talk about the World Blind Union, but increasingly we're doing more of these sorts of things and getting out and about, not only to promote ACB Radio and tell people about ACB Radio, but to bring these events that are so important to blind people who don't have the resources or find themselves in circumstances where they can't attend these major conferences. We go to Sight Village, which is the UK's largest exhibition of assistive technology products and services. You, Marlena, were in CSUN this year. People want to know what's around the corner. People want to know what's happening with their technology and what the developers are up to, where their $500,000 that they've spent on their assistive technology, where that money's going. People have a right to know. So we do try to hold the, you know, assistive technology people to account, and we regularly have, you know, interviews on Main Menu with the people. I mean, this week we had Stephen Baum of Kurzweil Educational Systems, and that's an expensive piece of software. And people, blind people who use that software or are considering using that software, I believe have a right to know what direction that product is going in. They've paid money, you know, they've a lot of money in many cases. And I'm keen for ACB Radio to connect people. I mean, one of the taglines that I've begun to use this year for ACB Radio is ACB Radio connecting the blind community, and that's really what that's what I want ACB Radio to do in any way possible. And if people have ideas of things, if people would like to get involved, I have a US toll-free number. It doesn't cost you anything to get in touch with me, and I can give that number out, you know, perhaps towards the end. I'm willing to support people and to help people to get their ideas off the ground and to get them involved, engage them with ACB Radio.
You've also got a simple email address at ACB Radio, don't you?
Exactly. support@acbradio.org. I mean, it's a simple case of sending an email. Anyone who can hear this program is probably able to host a program, I would say. It's really, you know, it's probably less complicated to do what Paul does in terms of the hosting the you know, the program in the chat room as it is to tune in and listen. To tune in and listen to ACB Radio, you've got to have a media player, you've got to go to a website, you've got to click on a link. Well, that's pretty much all you have to do with iVocalize technology and to use our place.
And
to record a program.
And it's
very, very simple. It doesn't have to be rocket science. It doesn't have to be complicated.
And if you guys listen to Tuesday Topics on ACB Radio, one of the things you'll discover is that overall the quality of the recording is actually pretty high. Now, that's got a lot to do with Dave Williams' work editing and trying to make us sound better. But I'm actually amazed at the high fidelity that you can get communicating in that chat room.
You guys, I'm going to interrupt. We have a call. Let's bring the caller into the conversation. Hello, caller. With whom are we speaking and from where are you calling?
Dick Seifert, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Dick Seifert, what a fabulous old friend you are. Welcome to my program.
Thank you, Marlena. I wanted to say hello to Marlena and Paul and Dave. I haven't met you, but maybe I'll do so in Las Vegas.
Let's hope so. Who knows?
And did you have a question or comment, Dick?
I didn't really have a question. I just, of course, I learned Braille when I was a child, and I wouldn't trade anything for it. And I know it's not easy for people who are adults to learn something. It's just like, I'm losing my hearing, and if I become totally deaf, you know, I would be just like a sighted person becoming blind all at once, you know. But I just hope that we'll continue to promote Braille as best we can.
Well, and Dick, it's wonderful to hear from you. I must tell you that I was sitting with Doc Bradley last weekend at the WCB convention. He was one of our guests. And we were reminiscing about you and several other people who have been around for any number of years. So it's great that you should call. It's just great.
Well, I've taken a long time to find a... I use the Freedom Box, and it's taken a long time for me to ever get the technology to access ACB Radio, but I have done so about 3 months ago.
Well, welcome to the listenership, and call my program anytime.
Thank you.
We know that the guys at Stereotech, we should say that Matt Campbell, who was really the developer of Freedom Box, we know that they're very keen, and Mike Calvo as well, very keen to support ACB Radio. We've had several promotions with the good folks at Stereotech, and we know that the Freedom Box opens so many doors for people who, you know, they don't want to get bogged down with all this screen reader stuff, because it can be hard, you know, and particularly when training is so expensive. But the Freedom Box is really, you know, a very appropriate solution for many people.
Well, I got a chance to see Dick in Arkansas earlier this year, so Dick, say hey to everybody down there for me.
I certainly will. The Freedom Box allows you to do email, websites, and but I can't do word processing or anything like that, but I have no desire to do so at this time. So
I think it's probably fair to say that most people who are listening to this probably aren't using the Freedom Box, and they're probably likely to be, I'd say your average ACB Radio listener is probably fairly screen reader savvy, but they may well know other blind people who perhaps, you know, don't want to get with the whole screen reader thing, but they do want to access the internet and they do want email, and the Freedom Box, you know, gives them an opportunity to do that. So certainly, you know, the older people or people who are you know, perhaps don't have the resources to go out and to buy JAWS and a desktop PC and all the rest of it, you know, Freedom Box is a is a nice sort of one-box solution that can get you up and running and can put you in touch.
I have, I bought the enhanced Freedom Box, and the gentleman that I purchased it from, the customer service representative, told me that I will be able to install JAWS for Windows,
mm-hmm.
and what I can do with that, I don't know, and I'm, mm-hmm. I'm not ready to try that yet, but he tells me it does have that capability.
Well, we're glad you're out there no matter how you get here.
Thank you.
Well, all right. You take care, Mr. Seifert.
You take care, Ms. Leibert.
Have a good night.
Bye.
The telephone number to call is 1-866-666-7926. It is now about 41 minutes past our first hour. If you are listening to this program at any time other than 1 Universal, which is 8 Eastern and 5 Pacific, you are listening to a rebroadcast. Sit back, put your feet up, and don't call because the number doesn't work. I'd like to go back to something that Dave said earlier, which is ACB Radio, and forgive me if I get this incorrect, Dave, but ACB Radio bringing the blind community together.
Connecting the blind community. Yeah.
That bridges beautifully into where I really want to go, which is to talk about ACB Radio's upcoming coverage of the World Blind Union. And what I'd like is for you, Dave, to perhaps tell us how that came about. And then I'm going to turn to Paul, who has been to the World Blind Union, and ask him what the heck that's all about.
Okay. We had, following our convention coverage in the summer from Alabama, we had an email from a gentleman in South Africa, Hein Wagner, who inquired very tentatively about the possibility of ACB Radio perhaps being involved in some way, and it wasn't clear at that stage what that way would be, but being involved in providing internet coverage of the proceedings at the 6th General Assembly of the WBU, which begin on the 6th of December this year. So 2 weeks today, it's very scary. And anyway, we really didn't know how we were going to do this, whether they were going to send a stream to us and we were going to relay it, or whether we'd have to send people out there. And the other thing was that in Sydney, was it Melbourne?
Melbourne,
4 years ago, the WBU had a very sophisticated setup where they provided several language versions of the proceedings. Now, it's my understanding that they don't really have the resources to do that this time around, but they do want there to be internet coverage. And there was some talk about them providing video coverage. Although myself and the gentleman from South Africa, Hein Wagner, who's involved with the organizing committee, agreed that most people, while in Europe and the US, certainly broadband is widely available, there's still a lot of people that must access the internet through dial-up. They can't have it any other way. It's either dial-up or nothing. And video coverage on dial-up is really, really quite limited in terms of the sound quality, because so much of the bandwidth, you have to give over about three quarters of the bandwidth to the video stream. So you're left with very limited bandwidth for the audio component, and so the quality goes down. Less bandwidth, lower the quality. That's the way it works. I was fairly opposed to video coverage, and as was my contact. And he went back and spoke to the organizing committee, and they decided that they would actually ditch the video coverage, and that they would come with ACB Radio, and that we would provide exclusive audio coverage in English of the proceedings next month. And we really only finalized this, because this was quite a long, drawn-out process, and we really only finalized the details of this a couple of weeks ago. So we've been obviously working very hard making preparations, because we want this to go as smoothly as possible. Next week, not this week, but the first week in December, the 1st of December, myself, Dave Williams, and Jeff Shang from Brisbane, Australia, are both flying out to Cape Town, South Africa,
where the WBU's General Assembly will be convening, and we'll be setting up. We've got to obviously get there, become acclimatized, work with the audio people to make sure we've got a nice clean feed from the house. Also work with the internet people to make sure we've got appropriate connectivity, and we're trying to do as much of this ahead of time as possible, but you never really know until you get there and plug in and start running tests. And then at 10 a.m. local time, or it'll be 8 a.m. universal on the 6th, which will be midnight Pacific, 3 a.m. Eastern, so it will start in the middle of the night, but it won't all be in the middle of the night, and certainly there will be repeats and there will be on-demand content and things. We will commence our coverage of the 6th General Assembly of the World Blind Union, which I have to say is a very, very exciting opportunity for them, obviously, because it gets their what WBU are doing out to the blind of the world who have got internet access. But also, it's exciting for ACB Radio because the World Blind Union, as Paul will tell you shortly, represents and is expecting delegates from over 150 countries at this event. And there will be a lot of people there and a lot of opportunities for Jeff and I to network and to tell the countries of the world about ACB Radio in a way that we really haven't had the opportunity to do before.
Now, Paul, what might we expect to hear as we listen to the proceedings? What is the World Blind Union, and what do they do? Why should we listen?
Well, let me step back a little bit and talk a smidgen of history. Way back in the 1970s and early 80s, there were actually two organizations that operated worldwide. And one of those organizations was essentially an organization of professionals, and another was a fledgling organization of consumers that sought to make itself heard throughout the world, to try to bring kind of blindness awareness to consumers in other countries. And towards the end of the 1980s, after a lot of negotiation and a lot of give and take on both sides, a decision was taken to form an organization that would bring both of these groups together. So the World Blind Union is one of the few organizations in the world, in fact, where professionals who serve blind people and blind people themselves are in an organization where they attempt to create a vision that they all share. So that in itself makes the World Blind Union exciting. What the World Blind Union does is it divides itself into a series of regions. And in each region, there is a World Blind Union chapter, and there are also often World Blind Union chapters in each country within the region. And as a result, all these regional groupings and all these country groupings have activities. And every 4 years, the regions come together in a general meeting of the World Blind Union itself. And at this general meeting, there are lots of issues. I think one of the things that is interesting and I think very exciting is there will almost certainly be quite a lot of discussion about the efforts to create a United Nations Convention on people with disabilities. It's a frightening thought. We've got conventions on germ warfare, and we've got conventions on every other kind of civil rights, but really the United Nations has said virtually nothing about the civil rights of people with disabilities. And so the World Blind Union is, in fact, engaged in working very closely with a group of countries who are trying to create this convention. One of the interesting things, and I understand they're moderating their position a little now, but until very recently, the United States has actually opposed this convention.
Just to say, I think that the World Blind Union are ideally positioned, aren't they, to lead this effort in a UN convention on disability, in view of the fact that WBU is recognized by the UN as a consultative organization.
Yes, that's correct. And really, we're and I say we because I am one of the delegates to the North American and Caribbean region of the World Blind Union. We are, in fact, an organization that is the only organization that has the right, I think, to suggest that we speak for people who are blind. Of course, the issues that the World Blind Union is dealing with are very different from those that confront us in this country. And I'm not sure that we are as aware in this country of how very good we have it as compared to the rest of the world's blind folks. In many African countries, only 0.5% of the blind children in those countries ever have an opportunity to go to school, far less to become literate. The unemployment rate is at 95% or 98%. The rate of blindness is far higher per capita in all of these other countries because of poor sanitation and because there are a range of diseases that are essentially long gone in this country that are still causing blindness in many developing countries.
So the World Blind Union then really attempts, as I'm hearing what you're saying, really attempts to educate blind people as well as provide a forum through which blind people can share information worldwide.
Yeah, but also educating the general public of the world. I mean, there is not nearly so much awareness of disability or of blindness in many developing countries. When your economy is such that there really is a huge level of unemployment and your balance of trade is atrocious and you owe the World Bank virtually more money than you have in your country, disability becomes a relatively low priority.
Right, right.
And we have to find some way of enabling people in developing countries as well as people in the developed world to understand what the needs of blind people throughout the world are, and to try to begin to set some minimum standards for how blind people ought to be treated throughout the world as well. And the World Blind Union, aside from this convention, has a number of committees that we can talk about in a minute, which are actually working to try to make those things happen. Hello?
I'm still here. I don't know what's wrong either.
It was me. I didn't have the button pushed. I had pushed the button down to shush the dog away and forgot to push the button back up again. Is there a vehicle through which blind people can express their interests, their concerns? You spoke about various subcommittees, Paul. Are they accessible to, say, those of us who aren't part of the World Blind Union?
They haven't typically been. I would certainly encourage people to go to the World Blind Union website, which is www.wbu.org, and there is information there in English and quite a number of publications as well, and that will certainly get you started. I think that we're in an interesting position in the North American and Caribbean region in that I don't think that, and I've said so at meetings as well, so it won't come as a surprise to any of my fellow delegates, I don't think that we've done as much outreach to folks who are blind within the North American and Caribbean region in order to try to focus on some of the problems and issues that they have. We've done two very cool things, and if you like, I can tell you about those.
Yes, please.
One of them is, and let me back up for a second here as well and say that probably one of the elements that has characterized the World Blind Union almost since its inception has been an interest in gender equality. The World Blind Union is one of the few huge world organizations that has made a point of preceding its quadrennial conferences with a meeting of blind women from around the world. Because when the World Blind Union began, it was absolutely apparent that if things were bad for blind people in general, they were twice as bad for blind women. And one of the things that the World Blind Union has done is to pass a resolution that 50% of the delegates from any given country ought to be women. And that's meant that blind women have probably had more opportunities to gain leadership skills and opportunities to be broadened by coming to World Blind Union meetings as a result of that than has had been the case before. And kind of as a consequence of that, in the North American and Caribbean region, we undertook two specific activities. One of those was to do leadership training for women in the Caribbean, and we've actually done two or three conferences, some of them not sponsored, in fact, by the region, but sponsored by the Canadian National Institute for the Blind and the aid organizations in Canada as well. But that's been exciting. I had the opportunity to make a presentation at one of those conferences, and it was really exciting to see how immensely changing an opportunity to actually get to know folks who were blind, who could give you hope that there were some other levels that you could look to accomplish. And the other thing that didn't quite come off, but that we hope will over the next little while, is we tried to pull together a conference for young women who are blind throughout the North American and Caribbean region, and it was to have met in Canada last summer, and for a variety of reasons, a lot of them having to do with the number of people who actually registered, it didn't come off. But I think it's really important that we try to assure that it will, because, again, getting to folks while they're young and giving them the advocacy skills that they need, and getting to women while they're young and giving them some of the coping skills they need as women, is, I think, really important in a service that the North American and Caribbean region of the World Blind Union is well suited to do. We have representation on that group from virtually every organization of importance in the U.S. and Canada. So we have the CNIB, we have the Canadian Council of the Blind, we have the NFB, ACB, AER, NIB, AFB, APH, and the National. Excuse me. So,
just while you're coughing there, Paul, I just want to let people know it's quite likely that ACB Radio Mainstream will go away and play a sponsor spot at the top of the hour. We'd ask people to stay tuned, and we'll be with you for a second hour. You're listening to Marlena. Carry on, Paul.
Yes, and Paul, you got cut off the national what?
The National Library Service, NLS, is also a part of that group. So it's a very representative group, and a group that can bring a lot of power and concern to bear.
Now, if people want to have some input into this, or even better, if there are blind women who are listening, and I know for a fact that there are a number of young blind women who listen to this show because they call me. So if some of these folks are listening, how can they find out more information?
Well, they could certainly drop me a note via email, and I can put them in touch with the folks who are leading the effort to try to put this project together again, we hope, shortly. The new president of the North American and Caribbean region, in fact, is a lady named Penny Harton from Canada, and Penny was one of the chief folks responsible for trying to pull that together, and she's now in charge of the international element of the Canadian National Institute for the Blind. And so she's well-placed to perhaps make that happen now.
And why don't you give your email address, and we'll make sure we get it at the end as well.
That's fine. My email address is edwpaul@comcast.net.
That's edwpaul@comcast.net. We also want to, again, remind folks that if we go away from the radio, stick with us. We will be back as soon as the spots play. Well, Dave, having heard some of what Paul has said, What are your thoughts? I know that personally you're flattered and honored and eager and excited to provide this coverage. How do you feel that this is going to be?
How do I feel it's going to be?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I understand the question. How do I feel it's going to be? I think it's going to be exciting.
That's where I was going.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. I'm not sure that every aspect of WBU's constitution being under scrutiny is going to be of universal appeal, but there are certainly some keynote speeches which I think will be very, very popular. We've got Thabo Mbeki, the president of the Republic of South Africa, speaking at the WBU General Assembly. So this is certainly a high-profile event. You know, it would be the equivalent of the president of the United States coming speaking at an ACB convention. So I think things like that are very exciting. There is a program, I should say, if people go to worldblindunion.org, there is a program there, and people can see, you know, exactly what's happening and when, and we'll be sure to be posting that out to the lists and putting it on the website and everything, and making sure that people have a schedule of what's going to be going on. We'll be, as I say, on live during the day, South African time. That's not great for the US because, South Africa is 7 hours ahead of Eastern time, so when it's midday in South Africa, it's 5 a.m. On the East Coast and 2 a.m. on the Pacific Coast. So clearly, you know, the reruns and the on-demand stuff is probably going to be more popular for folks listening or more accessible for folks listening in North America. But I would urge people to check this coverage out. We're certainly investing a lot in this. We've managed to secure some limited sponsorship. We are looking for more. WBU are putting some money in to make this possible. ACB are putting something in to make this possible. Jeff and I are also digging into our own pockets to try and make this happen. And it really I think it's unique. It's almost the climax of what ACB Radio has been doing for the last 5 years. ACB Radio celebrates its first birthday at the beginning of December. Will be 5 years old. It's fifth birthday. Did I say first?
You did.
it's 2 o'clock in the morning here. ACB Radio will be celebrating its fifth birthday at the start of December. And I think this is a very appropriate way for us to mark that event.
Well, I think so as well. And I'm very excited to listen to the proceedings, and also without sounding like sorry, I have a non radio phone going off here, without sounding too much like U.S. public radio, let me just say that if anyone is interested in contributing, please get hold of me or get hold of Dave, and we'll help you make that happen for sure.
Yeah, I mean, to do this is not cheap. It's a long way to South Africa. It really is. And then you've got you've got expenses and equipment and the fact that you're gonna have two guys working on this for the best part of 2 weeks. And we'll be working pretty much every day, 10-hour days at least. We're expecting we're going to be on air for about 9 hours a day, from about 9:30 in the morning local time
You're not doing the women's
situation with the Women's Forum. We really wanted to do the Women's Forum. We certainly explored this from every possible angle. We're not going to be able to provide live coverage of the Women's Forum, unfortunately. However, we are exploring the feasibility of providing recorded coverage of the Women's Forum. And the problem is, basically, there's no internet in the venue where they're going to have the Women's Forum. Apparently, the facility moved the Women's Forum to another room. There are other conferences happening in the facility around that time. ICANN, the internet, what does it stand for? The names and numbers people, the people that, you know, tell you that we're going to have .museum and .info and all this. ICANN, they've got a big convention going on there at the start of December. And obviously the facility have had to figure out where they're going to put people and where, you know, what's going to happen where and when. So, unfortunately, where the Women's Forum is going to take place is in a place where we can't get internet access, unfortunately.
However, we may well be able to record the Women's Forum and then play that at a later date or during the week when the WBU stuff isn't on live.
Really,
we've still got to iron out some of those details.
Yeah. I really hope you can do that. There's a lot of really exciting things that happen in the Women's Forum. It is very much a conference about empowering people, and so
yes.
It gives people a real opportunity to build their skills and also to build their sense of who they are. So
yeah.
The whole
event certainly
yeah.
does that, I think.
Sure.
And what's particularly special, I think, about this World Blind Union General Assembly is that it comes at the 10th anniversary of democracy in South Africa, and I think that really speaks to that. This whole thing about empowerment and giving people the independence and dignity that they deserve that we in the UK and the US take so much for granted.
Well, and if you think about how many people from developing countries come, and the World Blind Union uses quite a lot of its resources in order to make that happen. They subsidize mm-hmm. people from developing countries so that they can come. And when those folks actually are able to be at World Blind Union meetings and to have an opportunity to share with people from all over the world some of the issues that are in their countries, and also to hear what's going on in other places, it can be immensely powerful. And I think the networking that happens outside of the conference itself, or simply in the audience of the conference itself,
yep.
is tremendously valuable.
How many?
Well, I'm hoping that ACB Radio can engage with some of that, and certainly there being two of us there will make that more possible. We'll have more time to do that sort of thing. There, mm-hmm. there will be an expo happening alongside, sort of equivalent to the exhibit hall that we have at ACB conferences. There will obviously be hundreds of blind people from all over the world in the hotel, and we're certainly going to be connecting and talking to people, and we've already got a list of contacts of people that we want to interview, trying to fill our lunchtime and afternoon tea type slots on ACB Radio Mainstream when we're providing the coverage. And we're very keen to not only bring those people to the ACB Radio audience, but also take ACB Radio to new communities and to tell people about ACB Radio. It's quite possible that most of the people there won't have heard of ACB Radio.
Paul, typically how many?
So hopefully in the long run, this can mean we can achieve that goal that I was talking about in the previous hour of ACB Radio connecting the blind community.
Paul, typically how many attendees might one expect to be present at the World Blind Union?
I think that there'll probably be somewhere between 500 and 600 delegates.
Wow.
That would be my guess.
Wow, that's pretty
yep.
amazing.
Some of the stats I've heard, I mean, it does vary, and I guess it will depend on, everybody's personal circumstances. The stats that I've read is that there will be over 150 countries represented, which is a lot. It's about three-quarters of the countries in the world. And that there will be over 300 organizations of and for the blind represented.
That's pretty amazing. I mean, when you think about the logistics of providing support services, i.e. accessible program material, et cetera, to that number of people, it's pretty amazing that it even happens.
This year, the World Blind Union plans to have simultaneous translation into French, Spanish, and Arabic, or from French, Spanish, and Arabic, depending on who's speaking.
Mm.
Interesting.
I know certainly those languages were available at the Melbourne conference 4 years ago. They were available online. As I say, we have only been asked to provide. We would have been
right.
delighted to look at having simultaneous language streams. We were only asked to cover the English, and so that's all that will be available through ACB Radio.
This may be the beginning, though, and I think
yes.
I think when we do as well as we will,
yeah.
I think we'll probably find ourselves perhaps much more in demand to do similar things.
Yeah, and that's what I see as being, Marlene, you're asking me about my future vision for ACB Radio, and if you know, if we, when we go and do this, it will demonstrate to so many people that, look, here are some blind folks who are able to come and to cover your blindness-related event, and to make it available to blind people around the world. And maybe that's the future for ACB Radio. That's the role that we should be taking in the future. And there's my telephone, so I shall let you talk to Paul for a moment, and I will be right back.
We do have these annoying phones that ring no matter what we're talking about. Paul, how is it determined where the next General Assembly will be held?
It's a sort of a bid process. I think there is an effort made to try to make the World Blind Union happen in various parts of the world. So it was in Melbourne in 2000, and in 1996 it was in Canada, and in 1992 it was in Cairo, Egypt.
Ah, and you have been to how many of these General Assemblies?
I've been to two. I was not at the 1996 meeting, and I can't remember quite why. I certainly was a delegate then, I think, but I wasn't there. But was in Egypt and was in Melbourne.
If one is interested in becoming a delegate to the World Blind Union, how does that happen?
It doesn't happen by interest. Essentially, each country it has representation at the World Blind Union to some degree based on population. That entitles them to a certain number of delegates, and the delegates are chosen as representatives of key organizations in those countries rather than as simply individuals who are interested in becoming involved. So you would have to persuade ACB or another organization that you were the person who ought to be sitting as delegate to the region.
Well, that's good information, because I think that some of this seems a bit out of reach to folks, and I always like to sort of talk about how you can, if you want, reach out and go for it. You may not be selected as the representative on your first go, but at least to know the avenue is where I wanted to go with that question.
Well, and I think there are some other options that I hope will become available for people to become more involved. One of the things that we certainly talked about during the last quadrennium is holding a youth conference that would bring young people from the United States and Canada together, hopefully students perhaps between the ages of 16 and 21 was the idea, so that you get high school and young university students coming together to be energized. And I still hope this will happen. In many of the other regions of the World Blind Union, these youth conferences were also scheduled to happen. The problem with the World Blind Union is that it's very much like so many other organizations that are out there. There's a very small budget, a budget that certainly is probably not as large as ACB's. And most of the money that the World Blind Union has, it raises by membership dues that it collects from various countries, and then by contributions that are made by large organizations throughout the world. One of its chief supporters is ONCE in Spain. And what that means is that, unfortunately, the World Blind Union, like so many other things, is volunteer-driven. And that means that some of the plans that get made at the beginning of Quadrennia don't actually get carried through. So there was a big push at the beginning of the last quadrennium to do youth conferences, and for a variety of reasons, some of them quite understandable, the person who was in charge got hired by the World Bank, in fact. As a result, then, these conferences didn't happen, and some of the committees perhaps didn't accomplish as much as we would have liked. But that's another thing you can look forward to during the upcoming conference. That is the report back on a number of committees. There's a technology committee. There's an aging blind committee. There's a youth committee. And there are also reports from each region about what they've done over the past 4 years.
Well, I personally hope that the youth conference will become a reality. I am weekly amazed at the young people who call this program weekly and are so much further along than certainly I was when I was their age, both with sophistication of sort of knowing what's going on and the use of the technology. And I think that the blind youth that I certainly interact with are, for the most part, fabulously intelligent kids. And I would love to help foster something like that. So
and those people, they are the future of the blindness
absolutely
movement.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's the thing that has to remain foremost, I think, in people's minds. You know, it's not just an opportunity for some kids to get together and have a party.
And
these
have a
people
pizza.
Are the future of the movement.
The telephone number to call is 1-866-666-7926. If you are listening to this at any time other than to Universal at this point, which is the hour of 6 Pacific and 9 Eastern on a Sunday night in the U.S., Monday morning UTC, you're listening to a rerun, and just put your feet up and relax and enjoy the conversation. We'd love to bring you into the conversation. I think you guys have my listeners so captivated with what you're talking about that no one wants to call and interrupt your dialogue here. So let me just reiterate that we would love to have your telephone calls at 1-866-666-7926. Let me go back to Dave for just a moment and leave the World Blind Union for a moment and come back to ACB Radio. Dave, you produce weekly the Main Menu program, is that right?
I produce the Main Menu program. I moderate this program from the chat room. I also produce the Tuesday Topics program. And I present a request program on ACB Radio Interactive. So, yeah, I'm involved in quite a few of the on-air stuff. That's my on-air kind of side, I guess. That's in addition to all the other things that go on.
All the other things, of which there are many.
email lists, moderation, coordinating volunteers, calling people, investigating sponsorship type things, and you're involved in some of that, Marlena, and ACB Radio owes you a huge debt of gratitude. Attending meetings, PR committee meetings, board of publication meetings, dealing with the vast amount of email that I get, just a phenomenal amount of email, and it's very difficult to keep on top of it sometimes, and if people do write to me and they don't get a reply straight away, keep on my case. You know, keep on my case. Don't let it go. I do try to respond to every single email that I receive. If you don't get a response and you feel that you need a response, then please don't give up. Don't be disheartened. I'm not ignoring you. It's just I have so many email filters and folders and things that it's, you know, I spend about half my day just working on the email alone. And then also trying to develop new initiatives for ACB Radio, for example, this World Blind Union thing. We've been working on that for the last little while. I tried to get ACB the best possible price on a flight, for example, to send me to Cape Town. You know, and doing something like that can be time consuming. Obviously, making sure that I've got all the equipment that I need and preparing for the coverage and preparing press release and so on and so forth. And I have to-do lists that, you know, I very rarely get to the end of.
Let's
and,
go back
just
to
add more things as they come on in, and you know, give it my best shot. And I do eat, sleep, and breathe ACB Radio, and I love this project. And I know that some of the time that I struggle to keep up, but believe me, it's not through lack of trying. I do also have to sort of consider my own health and welfare, and I do have to, when it comes to the weekend, you know, I kind of have to get off for a couple of days and go and do something else, or just because you see, one of the things about working from home is that you're not getting that interaction that real sort of human interaction that you get when you go into an office. When you go into an office, you know, you've got the water cooler moments, you know, you talk about
right,
on TV last night.
and all that sort of social cohesion that's really important for us as human beings, as social animals, that we really need that day-to-day interaction with people. And while I am communicating with people continuously with A3 Radio, all
it's
those people are inside
same.
My computer
right.
or on the end of the telephone.
Right.
So I don't see people. I can, you know, I come in on a Sunday night and we do the Marlena program, and then I've got other bits and bobs that I've got to do for the rest of the day, and then I've got the Dave Williams Radio show on the Monday afternoon, and then I edit the Tuesday topics, which goes out on the Monday evening. And you know, I'm not going to see anybody now probably until the weekend.
Let's go back.
I don't live with anybody. I'm not married, and that can be quite challenging.
Let's go back to trying to get a word in there. Whoa,
sorry,
that's okay. let's go back to the main menu and
yeah.
and looking at how that is put together.
Okay.
Certainly, you get bits and pieces from other people,
yeah.
and you do many bits and pieces yourself,
yeah.
and then you somehow magically make it happen, and then somehow it all gets archived. And people with Main Menu and with this program, I mean, it's quite a compliment to me, but, you know, within 12 hours of the Marlena show, weekly, I see on the list, when is the archive going to be there?
Mm.
And I'd like for you to sort of talk about how you do Main Menu from kind of the beginning to actually when these programs get archived. Because it's not just a push of the button, is it?
Well, I guess what I would say is that ACB Radio is different from the BBC in the sense that the BBC give you an archive for a week and then they take it away. So if you hear a program on the BBC, the chances are you can go to their website and you can hear it for up to a week afterwards. When we give you a program, we give it you. You get it. That's it. You've got it. You've got it forever. You can download it. You can keep it. It's on the website. We've got material on there that goes back to 1999. So that's the first and most important things to say. So that when something does come available on demand, that you've got it for life, pretty much, or as long as we're still here. Let's go back to the beginning then. Main Menu. Well, you know, I have a list of ideas of things that I would like to do on Main Menu. I have people who write to me, not as many people as I would like, but I do have people that write to me who have ideas of items that they would like to produce for Main Menu, and we do have some guidelines available from the website, and I'm more than happy to work with people to make their ideas into reality. And if somebody has an idea of something that they would like to do for Main Menu or they'd like to see on Main Menu, then let's talk about it. Let's, write me at acbradio.org, the support at acbradio.org, or you can give me a call on the toll-free number, which I'll give at the end of the program, so get the note-takers at the ready. And those ideas are the huge range. I mean, we say that Main Menu is a regular look at technology. So that's any technology, not just assistive technology, a regular look at technology from a blindness perspective. So it's not just about screen readers, note takers, OCR software, and accessible games, although those things do form a large proportion of what we put out on Main Menu. But if people have other pieces of technology, mainstream technology, that they would like to describe or demonstrate or review or talk about or that they have problems with, that they'd like to see explored on the program, then let's talk about those things and talk about them from a blindness perspective. How do you use your VCR? How do you use your DVD player? How do you use your hi-fi system, your stereo, your washing machine? All these things are very important because, you know, people may be in a position where they're about to make a purchase, and something like that can be very useful to find out about another blind person's experience. And that's why it's important as blind people that we do stick together. Of course, we want to be mainstreamed and we want to work in the mainstream world, and quite right too, but we can learn so much from each other in terms of our experience with things. And, you know, quite often I'll say, oh, I've got no clue about such and such a thing. I mean, I'm hopeless at cooking. It's no secret that I'm hopeless at cooking. And I know people, blind people that are very good at cooking. So I'll ring them up and I'll say, right, I want to do this. How do I, what do I have to do? And how do I know when it's, how do I know when it's ready? And how do, and they'll tell me, they'll say, oh, this is what you do. This is what, all you have to do, Dave. Just do this, this, and this. And so sharing that experience. And then when they've got problems with their computers, they ring me up and say, oh, Dave, you know, I don't know what to do, and I can't see what it says on the screen. How do I find out? You know, and I can tell people how to use, you know, Narrator and that sort of thing. So it's, main menu is an important, it's an important forum for that kind of thing, to share our common experience with technology. Very important. So we do try to nurture ideas, whatever they may be. We also do try to keep up to date with the most popular products that people are using. I mentioned Stephen Baum earlier, who works for Kurzweil Educational Systems. We've had Freedom Scientific on, and we've had GW Micro on, and we've had Dolphin, and we've had Ceratec, and the, you know, the list goes on. I mean, Pulse Data, and, you know, I'd be here all night, go and look at the webpage. And so we interview those people. Sometimes it's on the phone, sometimes it's using the iVocalize technology, and talk about what they're doing with this, you know, with the, all this money that you've spent on your assistive technology, yeah. And what the future of the, you know, the assistive technology is. And so we do have quite a large assistive technology component. And then I have to try to each week put that material together, either the material that people have recorded for us or the material that we've recorded ourselves, and to try and edit it into a program that runs for a predictable duration. Now, main menu used to be 2 hours, and quite frankly, the problem we were having is that people were running out of ideas of things that you know, we weren't getting the same level of submissions that we once did, and that's because we have already covered quite a lot of things on main menu, so it's a bit harder now to come up with something new and something fresh. That's not to say that people can't re-record items. I wish they would, because there are things on there that do need updating, programs that we looked at 2 or 3 years ago, pieces of software, gadgetry that we looked at 2 or 3 years ago that has changed and has evolved, and perhaps we need to refresh some of those items. So the level of submissions had decreased, and I had to think about the viability of main menu for the long term, and how we could make main menu sustainable, you know, because we don't want main menu to go away. People love main menu. And so we had to think about, what do we do? Do we make it a monthly program? Do people want that? I don't think they do. I think people like it being weekly. So we do try to make it weekly. And the only way at that time was to, as a temporary measure, to try and ensure the sustainability of main menu for the, you know, for the long term, was to take main menu back to 1 hour a week. And I should say that a 1 hour program that you listen to on terrestrial radio or on NPR or Voice of America might have a production team of 20 or 30 people putting that program together, editors, producers, and so on and so forth. This is one guy.
How long does it take you to put together one main menu on the average?
I would say it takes the best part of a day, and that's a fifth of what I'm contracted to do for 1 hour of audio a week. You know, I mean, editing something that's already been recorded for you, like Paul's Tuesday Topics, I think I spend about two and a half hours editing that
right
55-minute program.
So once you get the program together and the program has aired, what happens then? How does it become magically archived?
Well, the first thing to say is that we want people to listen to it on the stream, because we have sponsors, and we need to be able to go back to our sponsors and say, look, we've got this number of listeners, and this number of people will hear your sponsor spot. So we do want people to listen to it on the stream. And main menu first goes out at 1 Universal on a Wednesday, which is Tuesday evenings in the United States. During the U.S. winter, that's 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. And in the summer, it's an hour later. And it replays every 2 hours for a 24-hour period. And we alternate it with another program. Then main menu also forms a part of our weekend schedule. We have from 1 Universal on a Sunday, so starting on a Saturday evening, we recap the week's programming on ATB Radio Mainstream. So throughout Sunday, we replay some of the programs from the previous week. And main menu is part of that lineup as well. So at the earliest, we don't really like to make main menu available until at the very least a week after it has aired for the first time. And that is typically what we try to do. Although what you do have to do when you're producing main menu is to divide the program up into the separate files so that people can listen to the items that they want to listen to. You create the meta file, which is the M3U file, so that all those items will appear in your media player's playlist. You also have to put a text description together and then link to it from the website and make sure it's uploaded to the right place. Now, we are at the moment looking at ways to automate that process, and we are looking at ways in which we can delegate some of the activity on the website. One of the things that we've been working on for about the last 6 weeks is a new website content management system, and this will change the way people use the ACB Radio website. My thought is that ACB Radio welcomes submissions and contributions from people around the world. People make programs that go out on the air, so why not engage volunteers in maintaining the website as well as the stream?
Sure, sure.
So that's our vision for the website, and we've been evaluating a content management system, and we've got a prototype up, and if people want to have a look at it and give us their feedback, then they can do that by going to home.acbradio.org. That's home.acbradio.org. It's only a prototype, so if there are issues, don't panic. We're testing at the moment.
They will be resolved. Yes.
Sorry?
I said they will be resolved.
Oh, they will be.
Absolutely.
They will be. And at the moment, we're in a... I had hoped that we could get this live by the beginning of December. It's now looking unlikely that would happen. It's a bit ambitious. We've got a lot of content. The ACB Radio website comprises over 200 pages. And we've got to migrate all that content into the new the new system. And obviously we're appealing for volunteers to help us with that process.
Before we go,
and if you're in, sorry?
Before we go too far astray from main menu.
Yes.
And the website is very interesting, but I would be remiss if I did not mention the lack that we will feel in our main menu programming by the passing of John Mattioli, who provided absolutely excellent main menu content. And John,
we did pay tribute to John 2 weeks ago on the program. We spoke with Stephen Baum of Kurzweil, and it was a two-part interview. We had one part last week and then another part this week just gone. And Stephen read us a very touching, a very moving tribute that was, I think it was in the, would it be in the Boston Globe? An article about John and the contribution that he had made to assistive technology and the kind of character that he was, and he's going to be missed by so many people. Of course, we send our condolences to John's close friends and family. And I didn't have the pleasure of meeting John in person, but he has been on the program main menu several times.
And
it's always sad when we lose somebody who produces content to such a high standard.
He certainly will also be missed, as many of us know who work late in the press room at conventions. John was always there, no matter whether it was 11 at night or 3 in the morning. I want to go over to Paul for just a second, make sure he's still awake and with us. And Paul, you were president of ACB when ACB Radio first began.
That's true.
And I think you had a little hand in all of this. And
is also true.
I lovingly think of you as the sort of one of the founding fathers of this whole project. How did you get the idea? How did ACB Radio really happen?
Well, I need to say that Chris Gray was the person who actually got me enthused about internet radio. And as a result of some discussions that I had with Chris, I began to explore internet radio and became as enthusiastic about it as Chris was, and went to the board and got their permission to begin to explore, if we could find the money ourselves, whether we could actually have permission to start ACB Radio. And it was just sort of serendipitous that I went out to New Zealand to attend the convention of the Association of Blind Citizens in New Zealand. That's not actually their name. I'm naming them wrongly, and I apologize. But at that meeting, I had an opportunity to spend quite a lot of time with Jonathan Mosen, and it turned out that he was about to be between jobs, and so I very quickly tried to encourage him to come and work for us and made him an offer that was...
To the Godfather.
That's right. It was that he couldn't refuse.
That he couldn't refuse.
And the rest is really history. We owe a tremendous debt to Jonathan Mosen for getting ACB Radio up and making it the professional entity that it is. But
yeah.
I think it's lived up to my vision of what I intended it to be. I believe that ACB Radio has probably done more to put the American Council of the Blind on the map with people who are blind and organizations that work with them throughout the world than anything else we've done. And I think that what was part of my vision of ACB Radio, and both Jonathan and Dave Williams have absolutely bought into that vision, is that the role of ACB Radio is not to be a parochial American enterprise. The objective of ACB Radio is to connect the blind community, and the blind community is every blind person in the world who has internet access. And that's why every time the number of countries where we are heard goes up, I'm happier.
And I think it's you use the word promote. I can't say it now. It's half past two in the morning. But to just be a, you indicated there, Paul, that it's not just an American enterprise. It's not just an ACB enterprise either. That we have volunteer. We have Federationists who volunteer for ACB Radio. We have people that, quite honestly, couldn't give a monkey's about being a member of any consumer organisation. They just like ACB Radio, so they come on board. And I think that is important. That ACB Radio seems in many ways to transcend a lot of those boundaries. And, you know, I have to say that earlier in the year, and I know that there have been comments made and concerns raised about the extent to which ACB is involved in the editorial policy of publication of the Braille Forum publication. I have to say, in my time with ACB Radio, nobody, and I can say this categorically, hand on heart, nobody within ACB has tried to influence or control or affect my editorial policy in terms of ACB Radio's output. And,
well, certainly,
and I can say that absolutely hand on heart.
And certainly the Marlena program further attests to that, Dave, because we earlier in the year had people who were pro at certain situations in ACB and people who represented views on the other side. And we really encouraged that kind of dialogue. And
what I said to Jonathan Mosen when I hired him, and what I've certainly said to Dave when we've talked about this, is my vision of ACB Radio is that regardless of who is involved, the function of ACB Radio ought to be precisely the same function of any journalistic enterprise that is worth its salt, and that is we have an obligation to tell the truth as we see it. And whatever that truth involves is what ACB Radio ought to be telling.
Absolutely.
And to try and represent as many, you say, I'm not a big believer in objectivity. I don't think there is any such thing as objectivity. I think the only way you achieve objectivity is to have a range of subjectivity, so a range of subjective points, and then leave the listener to make up his or her own mind.
Yeah,
I think if you try too hard
right.
to be impartial, you disappear so far up your own behind that
yeah.
it's just not, it's not realistic.
I think
we have some religious programming. We do have people that speak out on certain issues. We do have people, volunteers, that have certain political views. We do have volunteers that have other political views. We have people on the left of the spectrum, people on the right of the spectrum.
Yeah, well, I certainly, on the music side, showed my political views with my songs that I played, like Duct Tape and Another Code Orange and all that stuff.
But then
Paul,
the next
you wanted
guy
to
will be in a hang on,
Dave,
and represent something else.
Hang on, Dave. I think Paul wanted... Paul, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to agree with Dave. I think the best way to truth is diversity. I've made every effort. I know Jonathan has, and I'm assuming Dave would take the same approach. Mm-hmm. I'd love to have folks like Dr. Mark Maurer come on to ACB Radio and talk about the differences that exist, or just talk about some of the things that he thinks are pretty cool about blind people, because I would love to see ACB Radio become not perceived as an organ of a particular organization in the United States, but as an entity that represents an opportunity for blind people from all over the world and from all parts of the political spectrum to share their opinion.
Can't disagree with that. It's 41 minutes past the hour. We will be with you for another 15 minutes or so here on the Marlena program. The telephone number to call is 1-866-666-7926. If, Dave, if someone listening wants to get their affiliate convention broadcast, what do they need to do?
Okay. Well, the first thing they need to do is write to me.
That's easy.
Yeah. Support at acbradio.org, and you can say I'm from the Timbuktu affiliate of the ACB or whatever, and we would like to have our convention streamed. What do we have to do? I mean, that's the first thing they need to do. They need to communicate with us. We need to be aware we can't... you can take a horse to water and all that, you know. People, it has to come from the affiliate, the willingness to stream your convention or whatever activity you happen to be. It doesn't have to be a state convention. It may be some other kind of special event. I know there's an event taking place in, I think it's Santa Rosa or somewhere, at the beginning of December, where the DDA will be discussed. And the gentleman has contacted me last week and said, you know, is there any way we can get this on ACB Radio? We might not be able to do it live, but certainly we will be able to find a way that he can record this and either encode the material himself and upload it to us, or send us tapes or mini discs or
all
CDs,
right,
whatever it may be, and we can do
and
that process for people.
We'll take care of the rest. Let me just stop you right here. We've got a caller. Let's bring the caller in. Hello, with whom are we speaking and from where are you calling?
Hi, it's Sue Amateur from Seattle.
Hello, Sue Amateur from Seattle.
So you're on an hour later tonight, Marlena.
No, I've been on for since 5 o'clock our time.
All right.
You missed the first hour.
I did. I was off eating, having a kind of a reunion with all of my past coworkers at another job.
Oh, well, hey, that sounds like fun.
We ate a big lunch and then had dessert, and now I'm just like, So
you've rolled in, literally.
I just always like to call and say hi. I appreciate the work ACB Radio does. I've started being an ACB Radio listener. I don't hardly listen to regular radio. I think it's so nice not to have a commercial.
But we like you to. You can come again.
You know? So, anyway, Dave, I'm getting ready to retire, and once I do, my next goal in life is to learn to be a DJ.
Wow. Well, we would love to have you, Sue. We would. And, you know, you can be involved in so many different ways. I mean, we've talked tonight. We've talked about, you know, community events and conventions and things like that. You know, if there are things happening in your area that you would like to see on ACB Radio, then we need to be talking to you. If you just fancy going on ACB Radio Interactive and spinning a few songs, then do that as well. You know, you can be involved in any shape, way, or form, and we would be more than happy to try and make your ideas into a reality.
Well, as Marlena knows, we just streamed our convention last weekend.
Yes, that's we
right.
did.
And, you know, you always wonder if anybody's listening, but we actually did have some people that sent emails to Viola, so we knew we had people out there.
Yes, and I actually got a couple of MSN messages from people who just said, I'm listening, so it does work.
And then the weekend or two before that, I listened to the parts of the California convention.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's neat. And now I guess you guys are ready to go off to Africa?
That's right, yes, South Africa, Cape Town in South Africa. It's the most southerly point in Africa. It's a long way south. It's a long way south from here. And I haven't been to the Southern Hemisphere before, so it's very exciting. And they tell me that off the Southern Cape, Cape Hope, there's nothing between you and the South Pole apart from a lot of water.
Wow.
So it's a long way out, right down there.
I don't know, Paul, shall we catapult him across that water? And
it must be about, what, 12 or 14 hours ahead of us?
No, they're just two hours ahead of him, so that means 7 hours ahead of us.
Oh, okay.
Seven hours ahead of Eastern.
It's
almost, I mean, in terms of the globe, it's almost directly south. It's just slightly to the, to the east of the, because I'm in the UK, so I'm on the meridian, the Greenwich Meridian. And they are Cape Town is slightly east, but I mean, the flight will go almost directly south. And it's a 12 hour flight, and it just goes south all that way for 12 hours.
And Sue, did you have a question?
Yeah, so if we want to go to the California convention or our convention, is that archived in the ACB radio, or do we go to our own individual state's website?
Right, the two sessions that we streamed from the, it varies, you see, from state to state. It depends what the state wants to do. Paul Merrill takes care of the CCB stuff. So I would have to make inquiries for you as to what he's done with his files and what he's doing with
there,
the
I actually looked there yesterday, and it's up on their website.
Theirs or ours?
Which is ccbnet.org.
Yep. Okay, and Marlon?
Right, and then the WCB, at the moment, you're still the top link on the ACB radio homepage, because it was the last big thing that we did. So you're still you're still there. If you go to acbradio.org, pretty much the first or the second link will be linked to WCB 2004 State Convention. The two sessions which we streamed are available there on demand,
and
we'll be moving that link into the on-demand archives fairly soon. As that's still relatively recent, we've got that still on the front page.
And we are hoping to get the recording of the banquet up there as well. We didn't stream the banquet live.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we need to get on our sound guy and get the recording up to Dave so that can be a part of it as well. So
there's no hard and fast rules, Sue, to answer your question. It depends what the state wants to do. If the state affiliate wants to do, put it on their own website, then that's fine. We can put it on ours. I'm aware that the on-demand page is getting quite lengthy, so we may, have a page at some stage which will be for affiliate conventions. You know, this is still a relatively new process. You know, we've only got sort of two or three states that are doing conventions at the moment on ACB Radio, but as that number increases, then obviously we'll develop a new section for the site, and hopefully we'll have everything on there, so you'll be able to go in and choose a state. You know, I mean, one day my view is that if there are 71 affiliates, if each of those affiliates provided us with an hour's content a month, you know, that would be a huge influx of programming for ACB Radio, and I be 2 hours a day. And I really believe that's possible if the willingness is there from people.
Library users actually did record their stuff on Minidisc this summer.
Right. Well, if we could get hold of that material, then certainly we would be willing to broadcast it.
All right.
Well, I think it provides an excellent vehicle. You know, even the national convention, the one year that I didn't go, you could listen to what you wanted. I thought it was great. Had Sunday night, you could be in your pajamas and listen to the session.
Well, that was so useful for me in the sense that, this was my first convention this year, but I had an idea of what to expect in terms of the material because I was able to go back and listen to previous years. And I had listened to previous years live when Jonathan had done it. And, of course, I hope to be around next summer to do the Vegas convention as well.
Oh, you just have to come to the casino. That's where everyone will be at the...
Well, I think ACB Radio's made a big difference, and I think all of you, Dave and Marlena and Paul, should be proud of the work that you've done on it, and I know I love it, and I think a lot of people listen and get a lot from it.
It's
Sue, come to Tuesday Topics on Tuesday and talk about Braille.
Well, I don't have a microphone on my computer, and so I don't know how to do it.
But it only costs about $10 to buy a mic for him.
Well, I know,
sake.
But I haven't done that yet.
All you have to do is buy a mic and plug it in, and then you can do it.
Well, let's just start nagging her right now in front of the world.
That's right.
Let's embarrass Sue in front of the world. Get a mic, man.
I'm retiring. I have to watch my expenses. Maybe Marlena will
give
you
a mic.
She probably has 14.
Yes, I'll give you one.
Thank
I'll
you.
Give you one. It'll be my act of charity for the year.
Thank you.
Well,
anyway,
thanks.
I'll be on there soon enough to bug you one of these days, Paul.
No, and then you'll be sorry, Paul. Then you'll be sorry.
I would love to have her.
All right, guys.
All right, Sue. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. The telephone number to call is 1-866-666-7926. When I used to do the blind spot shows, I always tried to end my program with a piece of music that I thought was somewhat relevant to the topic. And I have such a piece of music picked out for tonight, so even though I neglected to tell my guests this, we'll probably end slightly earlier than you think we will, so that I can get this piece of music in, because I think it's pretty appropriate. Any other thoughts about the World Blind Union or ACB Radio in general? Just kind of wrapping up, we've sort of talked about how ACB Radio got started, the critical importance that listeners play in ACB Radio, the need for affiliates and independent programmers to participate in ACB Radio, the fact that there is support there to help you get started, and of course, we have a call. Let's pick up this call real quick. Hello, with whom are we speaking and from where are you calling?
My name is Julian Peltier, and I'm calling from Montreal, Quebec, Canada.
Ah, bonjour.
Yeah. And I just caught you late because we have our biggest football game of the year in Canada, and it's just over.
Who won?
Who won?
Toronto won over Vancouver.
All right.
Oh!
Montreal just lost last week. I was very sorry about that.
Well, Vancouver's my neighbor. I'm in Seattle, so...
Oh, yeah. You're right. You're right. And I just wanted to say, I heard you talk about being objective or impartial, and I think that... The best we can do is to become familiar, become aware of our prejudices, and okay. That's about the best we can do. And that when we're aware of that, then we can be a bit impartial, right?
I agree.
What do you think of that?
I think that that's absolutely on target.
Sounds good to me.
And
sounds good to me. Bienvenue.
We won't fight over that.
Welcome to the program, and I would, you know, I would say that we. I mean, the word that Paul used earlier was diversity, and I think that's so key, that, you know, we're not all the same. We're all different. We've all got different views, different outlooks, different experiences, and I think the more we can do to learn and to respect each other's views and to share those, then I think that's the road to impartiality, I think.
Absolutely.
You're correct, as long as you recognize that I'm right.
Well, thank you for calling this evening, and I hope you'll do so again.
Thanks for taking my call.
Merci. There you go.
Bonsoir.
Bonsoir. Merci
Bonsoir.
Beaucoup.
Bientôt, monsieur.
Bientôt. Yeah, yeah. Catch you later, man.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up, let me turn to each of you. 30 seconds. What do you see as either the future of ACB Radio, if you want to go down that road, or the importance of this fabulous event that we are about to cover, the World Blind Union? If you could wrap these two topics up in 30 seconds, what would you say? Let's start with Dave.
I'll let Paul talk about the World Blind Union. As I'm the director of ACB Radio, I guess I should try and deal with the ACB Radio part of that question. The first thing I would say is it's your ACB Radio. If there's something about ACB Radio that you don't like, or if there's something about ACB Radio that you'd like to change, then get involved. It belongs to the people. It's truly your ACB Radio, and we want you to become involved. And we want you to bring your ideas to the table. I don't have all the answers. I'm a young guy. I've got a lot of learning to do. I've a lot of experience ahead of me. You know, so I think that it's important that I hear from you guys, and that you get involved, and that you bring your states, your events, your interests, your
your desires and hopes and dreams to ACB Radio, and then we can broadcast them for the world to hear. And I guess I would conclude by offering my sincere and deepest gratitude to every single person that has ever spent, you know, just 2 minutes either firing off an email or somebody like yourself, Marlena, who I know spends hours each week volunteering for ACB Radio. And I think those people are owed a huge debt of gratitude. And I would thank everybody who listens, who makes programs, who does things to promote ACB Radio. We know we have people that go on the website, they download the CD, they burn it off, and they take it, and they distribute it, and they promote ACB Radio. Whatever you've done for ACB Radio, thank you.
Paul, why should we listen to this coverage coming up?
The World Blind Union represents an opportunity for people all over the world to hear blind people from all over the world talking about the future of blind people all over the world. And even if some of it becomes a little boring and a little bit bogged down, the truth is that how an organization is supposed to be organized that ought to effectively represent blind people all over the world is an important question. And that's one of the questions that will be at the heart of the World Blind Union this time. I would urge people to listen to the World Blind Union broadcasts because it will give you an opportunity to get a sense of what it is like to be a blind person throughout the world, not just in the United States, where we have things very differently from the way they are elsewhere.
Paul, Dave, two very dear friends to me, thank you so much for joining me this week on Marlena.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go.